Bang! What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens. Here with me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Michael Plant and Mike Bonney. What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Ready to have fun with you guys on a Friday night. Where else would I want to be?
Yes, sir.
I want to be ghost today.
Yeah, he is.
I'm the ghost of Thursday night football's past.
I was going to say, let me tell you, nothing gets me more excited for week five than watching that Thursday night football game, in which we didn't see a touchdown go on the
board. That might have been the word. Eh.
Guys, I just want to say it. My dog had had as many touchdowns as last night.
Yeah.
Zero. I could have thrown a touchdown, I feel like.
Not a chance.
I mean,
bullshit. I could have saw KJ Hamler.
Yeah, but and somebody I'm taller broke than it Russell down. Wilson.
So I would have saw that shit.
Russ man's got PTSD, man, from throwing that round in the Super Bowl and getting off to lose.
Same it's, exact
from what,
route.
Four years ago.
Somebody broke it down on Twitter saying Eric Saubert was actually the number one read, and then Hamler was the number two read in that. But he eyed down Cortland Sutton.
I was gonna say
he was the third read.
Saubert was not the number one in that option. It was Sutton the whole way down.
For us, anyways.
he should have just ran to get the first down. Earlier in the game, he ran for 18 yards. Why couldn't he get just two?
And Gilly had Cortland Sutton locked up because he can't separate, you know?
That's fair.
We talked about that all season. I mean, hey, he's been all right fantasy purposes, though. He just doing it with a guy on his back because he can't get past him ever.
big time.
But yeah, guys, before we jump into our week five game previews, I just want to remind you, please smash that like button, please hit the subscribe, we appreciate it, and then head on over to fantasysixpack.net/plans and check out our membership that we have going on over there, guys. And the promo code is still active, XXP early, for 25% off while supplies last, guys. And that's got award-winning rankings. Join the Discord, you get updates. Anything you think of, you get all your questions answered on there right away.
You fuck up one more time like that, I'm going to discard you.
Get out of here.
But what do you even mean?
Before LaPlante and I argue anymore, let's go ahead and jump into our game preview so we can argue in there. And we got another London game, guys. Don't forget about this. It was a big controversy all over the place. Hey, people messaging their commissioners. Hey, can you swap out Alvin Kamara here? You know, I forgot that.
I would tell him to piss off.
Exactly. Pull him out of your lineups. We know that there's a London game this week. Be ready. Pay attention.
The one play that probably was the one, you know, most questionable was Daniel Jones, and he's ruled in playing. But it's not like any of us were playing Daniel Jones unless you were using him in Superflex. Mm-hmm. So there shouldn't really be one of those injury scares this week with this London game like Kamara was last week.
What do you mean, man? You're not plugging Kadarius Toney into your lineups and hoping that he magically plays?
He somehow injured a new part of his body today.
I did see the injured other part. I did see that he returned to practice and then he returned to not practicing again.
He is great, man.
And I'm not trying to like be a shithead or anything, but is he the Derrick Rose of like NFL? Just like falls down.
No, Derrick Rose at least had a career.
Yeah, and what an MVP and stuff. Kadarius Toney, we've literally seen him play a game and a half where he was great. And then the other half, he punched somebody, so he got ejected.
I'm curious at this point if he has more injuries in his career than snaps played.
He definitely has more than catches.
That's a biggie, but go on.
We've already spent way too much time on this Giants offense.
Yeah.
This is a fantasy show, and the only fantasy relevant player in their offense, non-Superflex leagues, is Saquon Barkley, and you're starting him. So let's just jump on right over to the Packers. Like, and I want to talk to you about the backfield. Aaron Jones looks like the better running back here. But the touches are still pretty close. I was on AJ Dillon all off season. I thought he was going to be really efficient. I thought he was going to get enough rushes and get some targets, but it's really been the Aaron Jones show all but one week. Do you expect that moving forward? And this week?
Yeah. More so, I mean, at least obviously in the passing game, I figure Aaron Jones will start getting a higher target share than AJ Dillon. They're within 2% of each other, I think like 11 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then I assume, this is just me guessing, that AJ Dillon would get more of the rushing share than Aaron Jones will later on. The big thing is whether who will get the red zone targets, and I think it'll be Aaron Jones still.
I was going to say, AJ Dillon's just not scoring touchdowns right now, man. That's kind of what's killing he's not really killing you, but he's not having, you know, huge days. He's giving you 7 to 10 fantasy points because he's not finding the end zone, you know.
And you drafted him where he needed more.
Exactly, yeah. You know, fourth, fifth round.
Like right now, he's RB28 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, is a guy you're starting, but still it's not what we expected.
Right. And then, Mike, I want to jump over to you, and let's talk the wide receivers who are breaking out a little bit. We kind of got two guys here. Alan Lazard's back from that injury that he battled earlier in the season. Romeo Doubs, you know, seems to be getting a lot of those Davante Adams targets where he's catching fade balls in the end zone, you know, and just being looked out in the red zone. Yeah, for sure. What do you think about these two this week?
Well, as the resident Packer fan, I love it. As a fantasy football player, this one's closer than we all would like to imagine. Everyone was hyping up Lazard in the offseason, but currently I give the slight edge to Doubs. We got more snaps played, more targets. I know Lazard's missed a game, but even if you added his targets per game, which is 5.7, we'll be nice. We'll round it up to 6. You add that to Lazard's target total of 17 on the year. He's got 23. Well, Doubs has 24. So I just give the slight edge to Doubs with how you mentioned it. You know, he's getting those fade routes that Aaron Rodgers likes to throw. He's getting those deep targets towards the end zone that Aaron Rodgers likes to throw to Davante Adams. I just give the slight edge to Doubs, but I wouldn't be surprised if, Lazard kind of takes it over down the stretch. But both guys, flex-worthy, possibly wide receiver 3.
I saw a video going around Twitter this week of Alan Lazard just putting a defensive back on ice skates with his route running on a nice curl route. It was very nice. He's surprising me, man.
It's just not fast.
Yeah, right. But good route runner, good hands.
You want to talk about
they love him as a blocker, too? Yeah, exactly. But let's go ahead and jump over to our next game, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Buffalo Bills. And Ike, the end of the days for Mitch Trubisky. We might not ever see him be a starting quarterback ever again in the NFL, barring injury.
Never.
Hey, man, maybe he makes a career out of like Chase Daniel did, you know, like Alex Moran wanted to do.
He will be one of the better backups in the league.
Yeah, totally. But with
Teddy Bridgewater,
with the quarterback change, is this going to be a total transformation of the offense with Kenny Pickett as the quarterback, or do you think everyone's still going to suck?
The offense is still bad. Offensive line is still bad. So I feel like Kenny Pickett's going to have to run for his life a little bit. I mean, he did run for 2 touchdowns last week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a mover.
I can see that happening more, but they're going to have to run the ball more. They're going to have to trust Najee Harris more for them to give Kenny Pickett at least easy plays. And then other than that, I think George Pickens is probably the guy moving forward that might benefit the most from this. Everybody's heard it that he's got his 30% target share or whatever with Kenny Pickett so far. I don't believe he'll get that high for the rest of the season.
No, definitely not. Not when you got Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, the Muth man. Is Claypool dead?
He's dead to me.
Okay. Yeah. and not roster, but
subjective.
Yeah, he's probably droppable in 12 team leagues, right?
He's out my bubble in my previous article, so he's there.
For sure. Yeah.
You can't drop him with the switch of Kenny Pickett now, because now you have to see you got to see how this offense works now with Kenny Pickett. Because if it is a little bit more efficient, that will be beneficial
to
Claypool. Because he's an efficiency type of player, not a volume.
Was deep, the deep ball. And efficiency. I don't think Kenny Pickett is going to be throwing the deep ball very well.
Not against Buffalo.
Najee.
I was going
to
say, let's just get Najee going, man. Let's get Najee going. Borderline.
Why is he averaging like what 12 points a game?
I think you're underestimating how much of a bump this is for the Freiermuth man. Because
the Muth man.
Yeah, the Muth man. Because we all know rookies love their tight ends. Those are the safety blankets, along with running backs. So, I mean, as long as he can learn to check down, and he looks like he can actually progress through a pocket. I mean, Mitch Trubisky was, look at the first option. He's not there. All right, we're scrambling.
Kenny Pickett had to be to the right side, too. He
doesn't it's not left. But Kenny Pickett's actually going through his progressions. He's not afraid to take the hit in the pocket. So I do like this moving forward, and my curiosity is piqued.
Yeah, I lean more towards IQ. I think this.
I mean, you could buy low on Deontay right now.
I don't think people
are probably off on him.
Yeah, definitely,
they're going to be off on him, but I don't think they're going to be selling low on him. I mean, it's too much name value still.
Sure. Let's go ahead and jump over to the Bills now, guys. I think you're starting Josh Allen at this point. I think he's proven to you enough. Devin Singletary, I'm plugging him in your lineups every week.
How about Stephon Diggs? Are you plugging him in?
Yeah, he's all right, too.
All right, I might want to switch him out for Lazard. Okay.
But, Mike, what I want to hear from you here is...
It's a joke.
I want to know who you want the rest of the season and this week between Isaiah McKenzie and Gabe Davis.
Why do I get all the hard ones? I mean, I just have to talk about the Packers backfield.
Maybe
this one is easy. But I mean, if you look at it from a box score point of view, you're looking at McKenzie the rest of the season. But if you take a deep dive into it, which I did, I'm still taking Davis. It's abysmal, guys. He's got 8.7% of the target share, which is third for all the Bills wide receivers behind McKenzie and Diggs. And then it's fifth out of everyone for the Bills behind Singletary and Dawson Knox, who both have 13%. But Josh Allen is the only one, guys, out on the field more than Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is the second highest snap percentage on this team. And believe it or not, you know, we all were upset he missed a game or what was it, week two?
Yeah. Ankle injury.
You know, yeah, so one less game played than Diggs, but yet Davis has played one more snap than Diggs on the year.
Diggs took Grants, by the way, but...
I don't care, but Davis didn't play for a whole game.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I'm just saying, he's on the field, and he's running routes. It's just, he's not getting targeted right now, and he's eventually going to get targeted.
He's not a bust just yet. Okay.
I mean, these guys are startable because this offense can support three wide receivers.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards Mike here a little bit. Just with his scoring touch or his touchdown upside, Gabe Davis still got 5 touchdowns his last 5 games. Like, you can't forget that.
He's just missing the target share, but he's still out there more than Diggs, more than McKenzie, more than the running backs.
And he's been dealing with an ankle problem, man.
By the way, an 8.7 target share might be the worst I've ever seen from a guy who was projected to be a top 24 wide
receiver.
What do I tell you?
Wide receivers are inconsistent as all hell. Not everyone's Cooper.
Just wanted to get that out there.
It's not good. Definitely not good. But
it's not great. You're probably not starting him until he gets more targets.
Got a question for Bob Dole here. Singletary or Najee Harris this week? I'm still going Najee Harris.
Najee.
Yeah.
Hope for the best.
No.
No, huh?
Yeah, well, man, I want to go against the grain here because I do like the matchup. Pittsburgh's rush defense is not great, guys.
It's not good. The only thing that scares me, Mike. Let me interrupt you quick.
Go ahead.
The problem is the last time the Bills kicked the shit out of somebody, that they worked in James Cook on the ground quite a bit. That's what worries me about Singletary, because I think James Cook got like 14 touches the last time they kicked the shit out of a team.
Steelers are 23rd worst against stopping the run this year. Definitely way bottom half. Yeah. So. If there was ever a game for the rushing balance to get more on track, this would probably be the best one. It's just you're probably, you know, safer going with Najee. The volume is always safest. Yeah.
And I think they're going to lean on him a little bit more with the rookie quarterback.
That's true. But I would not be surprised if Singletary outscores him in this one, because I just think there's a good chance Singletary could get two touchdowns in this game.
Sure. Jumping over to our next game, Ike, I'm going to start with you. Los Angeles Chargers at the Cleveland Browns. I got a two-parter question here for you. Start with the first part. Is Austin Ekeler back after last week? Yeah, he looked good, man. He finally saw those red zone touches. Positive regression came his way with the touchdowns this past week. How do you feel about him this week, man? And is he back? He's back.
Back, yeah, but I wouldn't say like – I would say top seven running back, not top three. I don't think you'll be seeing three touchdowns every game. I was even surprised by that. You'll see some games where he doesn't score, but his receiving is going to save him. He'll always be near the top of the running backs at the end of the week. So I wouldn't be worried about him at all. Start him with full confidence.
Agreed. And then I'm curious where you have Mike Williams in your rankings after him seeing 11 targets last week and him kind of bouncing back. I think he had 12-ish fantasy points, something around there.
I haven't changed it since Keenan was ruled out, right? LaPlante?
Keenan was ruled
out. Yeah.
Right now, I think I am at wide receiver 17, so I'll probably bump him a little bit. So he's definitely in the fringe wide receiver one territory.
That surprises me a little bit, man. Are you hedging a little bit, like having him high, like to the point where you think that he could have his big blow up week where he's wide receiver?
At some point, it's coming. It has to. And yeah. I'm a.
And you laugh at me for Gabe Davis eventually coming.
Depends on Herbert's ribs as well, so we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. We got another live question here, guys. Should I start Tom Brady or Joe Burrow this week?
Brady does get Godwin back.
Burrow plays the Ravens, though.
Burrow does love the Ravens. Tampa Bay plays Atlanta.
I think you go Burrow.
I think
Tampa Bay might have to do much. So yeah, Burrow.
Yeah, they might want to get a little bit more balanced after only rushing it six times against the Chiefs.
Sure. But Mike, jumping back into our game here. Let's go into the Browns. Amari Cooper and Kareem Hunt have been both hit or miss this season. Who out of these two do you trust more this week? And give me a few reasons why.
Do I have to say, this is a tougher question again? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, this one is a tough question, man.
I know. This one is brutal.
Come on, I gave Ike a two-parter.
Oh, congratulations. Because you give him two layups and you give me the half-court shot.
Dog, it's like a two-for-one trade. Here, I'll give you Tyler Boyd and Mike Williams. You give me Cooper Kupp. It's two players for one. They equal more points than Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, obviously.
I don't like it.
You know about that.
Playing either. I won't be playing either. But, all right. You will have to give me a second here because I will not lie. I definitely accidentally exited out of the show sheet. All right, we're back here, boys.
We're here. Bang.
Dude, I was rearranging shit. So Cooper and Hunt, believe it or not, are pretty close on the year. In PPR, Cooper is 55 points, Hunt has 50. I mean, so it's really not that far off. So in this type of a situation, even though the running back landscape is brutal, I still lean the running back in Hunt. Just because the running backs get more opportunities, especially Kareem Hunt's case. Even if they're down, he will get targets out of the backfield. And believe it or not, Chubb and Hunt have the same exact number of red zone opportunities. I mean, you would think not because Chubb has 5 touchdowns to Hunt's 2.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Chubb has 16 rush attempts, 0 targets. Hunt has 13 rush attempts, 3 targets. So it's split right down the middle in the red zone. So Hunt just needs to score touchdowns. Once he scores touchdowns, he's going to hit for you. So I think I lean Hunt over Cooper because I don't like the inconsistency with Jacoby Brissett. He seems to be reverting back to this tight end, hyper-targeted QB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
And Amari Cooper has fallen back to the guy who I'm going to score you 22 points for 2 weeks.
He decided not to play last week.
And then I'm going to give you a good old 2 points here, 2 weeks out of the 4 that he's played. He's just so frustrating. But at this point, guys, when you drafted him, you knew that's what you're going to get out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you got him cheap as hell anyways.
You did.
So to get two of those good weeks out of him, take it. You take it with a chin. Take it on the chin.
Yep. We got another quick question here from Bob Dole. Would you guys go Chris Godwin over Najee Harris in the flex this week?
Man, Najee Harris in the flex. God damn, you got some good running backs.
You know, Chris Godwin's going to be in the slot. He probably has the best matchup with AJ Terrell being on the outside on Mike Evans.
Dude, he had 10 targets last week. Mike Evans and now, was being guys, multiple times.
If I do remember correctly, because Bob Dole always watches the Thursday show, this is half-point PPR. He does play in half-point PPR.
Najee Harris, so
if it's half-point PPR, I go Harris. Full-point, I go Godwin, for sure.
Tell me if I'm wrong, Bob, but I'm pretty sure you play in half-point, and if it's half-point, it's Najee Harris.
Completely changed my answer.
Know your rules.
Let's go ahead and jump into the next one here. We got the Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ike, I'm going to come to you first here. Oh no, and Bob Dole's told Michael Plan he's always right. You can't
say I'm not
him, weird.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Bob, but I'm not. I know I'm not.
But Ike, Damian Pierce last week blew up 100% of the Texans rushes. Six targets, I want to say six or eight targets actually. Is he a must start in this matchup and the rest of the season? Are you just plugging him in as your RB2, RB1 in my case?
Yeah.
RB1 in my case.
For those who drafted him like you, this is what they wanted. This is what they expected. So they're
for all the zero cloud RB nine drafters that just starting. Waited way late. Yeah, you want to start Damian Pierce.
Remember my Matt Forte and Damian Pierce take back at preseason?
Yeah,
this was the first game that we actually saw that come to fruition.
Just not as
reminiscent of when you drafted Kareem Hunt game. Like all those years ago.
It's reminiscent, yeah. It's kind of it's around the same thing. But yeah, keep going.
No, I got he should start him every week. He is the guy, like you said, 100% of the.
That's it.
The brushing share is insane to me. So,
yeah,
many guys are getting that.
If he's going to get,
he might be the only one getting that.
If he's going to get six to eight targets a game too, and be the third down back, and be the garbage down.
I don't see six to eight again.
Yeah, but because Burkhead got the same amount of targets, and he might get more. You know, depending on game script and whatnot. Because the Texans, I mean. It was a they surprisingly are surprisingly guys. The Texans have been in every game so far. Have you seen that coming?
They battle, man. Yep. No, I definitely didn't see it.
Which is great for Damian Pierce. But like I said, him and Brandon Cooks are pretty much your only lineup locks from this team.
For sure.
It's also worth mentioning that a lot of his yards came from a 75-yard touchdown. Just something to keep in mind.
True.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm calling them a plant locks. Those are the only two you can lock from that team. Fuck you.
I think Damian Pierce has shown you that the big play is part of his game too, because I know he had a couple big
plays. Oh, he's got the breakaway speed.
Well. Yeah, and he runs.
Yeah, he looked faster than I thought he did.
Mm-hmm. But Mike, I want to jump over to the Jaguars now. I think. Excuse me. This offense struggled as a whole last week, but especially Trevor Lawrence. Guys, four fumbles? Four. What's going on here? I know.
Five
I get it.
In total.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. It was raining, man, but you got small hands like Kenny Pickett. That's why you're just dropping that damn thing. I'm curious, Mike, in this matchup, do you think he does Lawrence and this whole offense as a whole bounce back this week? And is Lawrence streamable?
Well, before I answer your question, quick little, nugget of information. Did you know the Texans actually lead the all-time series against the Jaguars? And it's not even freaking close. 27-13 all-time against the Jags.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Now, going back to fantasy. Well, yeah, going back to fantasy. Absolutely. Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars are going to be bouncing back this week. It's going to be a win against the Texans. Sorry, Texans fans. Kirk, Robinson, and Dylan, you're going to like hearing this. Hopefully ETN can bounce back this week. Texans are 31st against the run this year so far. I mean,
I didn't get my ETN question this time, damn it.
There's one team worse than the Texans at stopping the run, and I'm not telling you who it is.
I know it is.
Because it's our next matchup.
Oh, no, I was right. It's the Bears, right?
Yes, it is.
yeah, they're brutal against the
So Ravens. He could absolutely have an efficient game here. It won't be it could be a little bit more an uptick in volume if the Jaguars just ram it down their throats. But like we said, Texans have been in every game so far. I plan for them to be in this game, and I really do, you know, if I'm not a huge betting man, but I think Texans cover the spread.
Yeah, for sure. I tend to agree, and I know a lot of James Robinson owners are hoping he bounces back, and I could 100% agree with you, Mike. I think he's going to this week. I'm not holding out hopes for – I am holding out hopes for ETN, but he's on my benches this week, guys.
He's worth a flex play if you're desperate.
Yeah.
That's it.
But it's like I'm starting Devin Singletary over him. I'm starting Damian Pierce over him. I'm starting Ramondre Stevenson over him. You know, it's
– No, he,
he's just like, taking – Go ahead.
What would you do for like wide receivers here? You starting, you know,
are you starting Gabe Davis over Travis Etienne?
Yeah.
I don't think so this week. This week I go Etienne. Just like I said, Gabe Davis, I trust the rest of the season. I just don't know if I trust it this week.
I know I trust Gabe Davis for the rest of the season. Just goes to show you how much I think of Etienne.
It's attributed to what Dylan said. I do think it's an ankle injury, but he's got to get targeted too as well. How about Juju Smith-Schuster or ETN?
I'm going to go ETN Juju. There. Juju, I want to fight Juju, man.
I want to fight ETN, so.
That's true. And we'll get into Juju.
I don't have any beef with anybody.
Later. We'll get into Juju a little bit later on. He does have a good matchup this week, though. But we got another question here from Dion. What's up, man? Robert Woods, Chris Godwin, Romeo Dobbs, Garrett Wilson. You need two standard.
Oh, man, that's very enticing. That's very enticing with Robert Woods because Treylon Burks is out.
I know. I think it's still Chris Godwin and Romeo Dobbs.
No, I mean, I kind of like Garrett Wilson and Chris Godwin more than Romeo Dobbs. Garrett Wilson has 37 targets on the year. Romeo Dobbs does not have 30 targets on the year.
Mm-hmm.
So the red zone targets are in his favor.
Might want to play slow because they got Teddy. They might want to run the ball more.
Packers are playing the Giants, who may not even be in the same atmosphere as their
totally
score
fair, yeah.
in the
Packers
second half. Play at
an embarrassingly slow pace. So
actually, it's not as slow as last year, believe it or not, but it's not as fast as I would like it. But I believe it's Chris Godwin and Garrett Wilson for me. I like Romeo Dobbs. Those are great options, Dion. Great options.
Jumping back into our game previews, guys. We got an NFC North divisional matchup here. The Chicago Bears at the Minnesota Vikings.
I know you guys
Vikings.
Are excited for this one.
Ike, we saw a little bit of life from this Bears offense from a fantasy standpoint, at least. Darnell Mooney, I think, finished with like 12.5 fantasy points. I want to say 90-ish yards. Fields finally hit him out
it's
of
gotta bombs. Be a season high
50 yard catch
yeah
right
but yeah I think he saw six targets though caught four or six of them or something like that. My question to you is, can he have another game where he gives you 12 to 15 fantasy points here against, and to be honest with you, a defense in Minnesota that doesn't scare me whatsoever?
He very well could, but the thing is trusting him enough to put him in your starting lineup, especially in a shale league, would not be doing it. No chance. Only guy I would start on a Chicago team would be Khalil Herbert, and that's if Monty doesn't play. But if you're in a deeper league, like 14, 16, I don't know, however deep they go, you can probably play Mooney for sure.
I'm curious to see how this Bears offense fares this week, because this is really the first team that they've played that an offense could put up a ton of points on them. You know, and get out on a lead, which is going to force the Bears to have to throw later in games. So we may
see. I don't think they will.
You still don't think the Bears will? You think they're going to protect Fields even when they're down 24-3?
I'm just so upset with this team throwing less than Cooper Kupp's catches, so I can care less.
I think we're going to see Fields get to 30 pass attempts this week.
That's a stretch.
Because woo-hoo. The Vikings are going to be beating the shit out of the Bears.
I don't know, man. They really like running the ball.
Ooh. Yeah, they do.
But, Mike, jumping over to the other side of the ball, the Minnesota Vikings. Delvin Cook has kind of started out the season slow. He's been okay, but he's still searching for those touchdowns, which he struggled to find last year as well. Will we finally see the Dalvin Cook blow up?
Well, first off, I just want to give you just a total idea of how bad the the passing offense for the Bears is. So, obviously, we know they're terrible. They're the worst. So, number two is the Giants. They have 558 passing yards on the year. The Bears have 390.
That's sweet.
All right. So, I just love piling on you Bear fans. But we'll move on to the to the Vikings here.
At least we have two wins.
That's fair. I don't know how you got it, but guys.
Good.
I mentioned it before in the previous matchup. You only got one team worse than the Texans stopping the run, and it's the Bears. They're the only team this year who's allowed 700-plus rushing yards through four games. You know, quick math.
Is that good?
Yeah, quick math, that's not good. this is exactly what we've been waiting for Cook. He's eighth in rushing attempts. The volume is here for his blow-up game. This is the game I think he gets, you know, two touchdowns and 100-plus, at least rushing yards. Maybe 150 plus total purpose, you know, receiving to.
I agree.
This is the blow up game, though.
I tend to agree. With him scoring those touchdowns, guys, I don't think Adam Thielen's going to get one this week. Sit Adam Thielen this week. Jumping over to the next game now, guys. We got the Detroit Lions at the New England Patriots. Ike, the Lions offense as a whole has been awesome for fantasy purposes. Jared Goff, you know, the running back, Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift, Amon Ross St. Brown's an absolute stud when he's been in the lineup. So we even saw when everyone was out last week, we even saw DJ Hockenson drop a 40 piece. 40! And Josh Reynolds nugget. Get like 18 fantasy points as well. Go ahead, Mike.
Another little nugget. Seventh best performance all time by a tight end.
That's crazy. Sweet.
But my question to you is, because we're starting TJ Hockenson, we're starting Jamal Williams. Are you starting Josh Reynolds with Amon-Ra St. Brown trending downward?
Actually, he is trending upward. Sorry to make you look
really. No, silly he made like me that. Look stupid if I'm wrong. I didn't think the last I saw that.
Yes, he did practice. Swift was officially ruled out, but Amon-Ra was not. He's questionable still.
Was he limited or did he fully practice?
For this question, I suppose. And either way, I'm not starting Josh Reynolds. I think the Patriots are going to try and run as much as they can to keep the Lions off the field so that they can control the game. Pretty sure Mac Jones is out again. I could be wrong on that. I have no idea. Yes,
Bailey Zappe has been named starter.
Yeah, so they're going to want to keep the ball on the ground, keep it nice and easy for him, short passes. So if you have Ramondre Stevenson, I'd probably be starting him in a lot of leagues.
Nice segue into the next question, man. Michael Plant, talk New England's backfield now. You want Stevenson or Damian Harris?
I mean, he could have mentioned Harris, too. I mean, it would have been a better segue. But
at least I tried.
I give you credit for trying. B for effort. Gut check. Stevenson is the guy right now with the increase of receiving work. It's a slight edge to him. 14 targets compared to Harris's 9. Stevenson only has 10 less carries than Harris on the year, 53 to 43. But Stevenson is just more efficient. Almost 5 points. You know what? That was actually something I didn't look up. Good call. I will look it up real quick here. But while I'm looking that up, the efficiency is just there more for Stevenson. He's almost averaging 5 yards a carry. It's 4.9. You got 4.6 for Damian Harris, which is good. It's just Stevenson is doing a little bit better. Maybe it's because he, you know, is not rushing the ball as much. But it's the PPR value that we love for Stevenson. But I think this was a trick question because both these guys are playable this year, this week.
I actually agree.
There's a theme running here in the past three matchups. Lions 30th in defending the run, allowing 662 rushing yards. So these past few teams are terrible at defending the run, and there's just going to be a lot of rushing yards, I think.
I agree. Both guys are startable this week. Jumping over to the next game, we got the Seattle Seahawks at the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are coming home. Why am I going to do that when I'm talking Seahawks here? Ike, are we trusted Rashad Penny after the blow-up? last week against the Detroit Lions, who we just talked about, who are terrible against the run. Or are you staying away and not trying to chase last week's points?
Don't try and chase it, especially against the Saints, who are, hold on, let me look at it real quick. Sixth best against running backs.
I was gonna say, good.
If I'm not mistaken. So yeah, I'm pretty sure you can find a better option. By the way, this is the first time he went over 15 carries, I believe.
Yeah.
So
he also had
the most runs, opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I think you feel
pretty good. Agreeing. I like it better when you disagree.
I mean, you guys know what you're talking about this week, actually, for once.
and do you not have an opinion, or do you disagree?
He's here to move the show.
My opinion is the same as Ike's opinion on that one, pal.
I love that answer. We can move on if you want.
Jumping over to the Saints now, LaPlante. Kamara's been a headache for fantasy owners all season, whether he's playing and he sucks, or he's not playing and people are leaving him in his lineup.
Or he's being ruled out in the 30 game.
I'm curious to see if he can bounce back in this one, Mike, against Seattle, if he plays.
Man, another toughie here, but I do believe so. Seattle allowed Jamal Williams to finish his top five RB on the week. We have Andy Dalton officially starting. Jameis Winston is out, and the whole reason why Kamara was kind of not getting those targets because Winston just likes to huck it, chuck it football, where Dalton is a little bit more prone to checking it down if things break down in the pocket. Granted, he didn't really target the running backs a whole lot last week, only four total to the RBs. That's why he had three of those targets were to freaking Mark Ingram, guys. I mean, I wouldn't be throwing Mark Ingram if I had a choice. Latavius Murray has been poached off the taxi squad by the Broncos in light of the Javonte Williams news. So it's literally just Mark Ingram as the backup right now, and you got a guy named Dwayne Washington. I believe he is injured, actually. I could be wrong, though, or he's just really bad. He's probably really bad.
Both.
But the one thing here is I am a little worried because with Andy Dalton starting, yeah, man, Taysom Hill is going to come in and he's going to vulture some of Kamara's touchdowns. I just know it.
That would suck.
I just know it. I'm afraid, man, piss off
a bunch of fantasy managers.
It's either that or it's going to be Mark Ingram. It's what the Saints do to Kamara. They use him to get down there, but then I don't know what it is. It's just not as scoring as effective as recently, which, I mean, this offense kind of is shit, so I'm not surprised. But he's going to get the volume to be playable. He'll be safe, but I'm tempering expectations on the ceiling.
I think your best case here is Alvin Kamara blows up this week, and then you're able to trade him for something more useful because I don't like him moving forward either, especially if Jameis comes back. Because, like you said, he's not the checkdown guy Drew Brees was. This is why I've been so scared of this offense, you know, just in general, when I didn't love Michael Thomas pre-draft and I didn't love Kamara either.
He's not the most efficient either. Ever since his rookie year where he went bonkers because Mark Ingram was there.
Yeah, right.
Like 3.8.
Yeah. I mean, on this offense, I got my LaPlante locks are Chris Olave and Alvin Kamara, but Michael Thomas being ruled out. But I'm not starting Jarvis Landry. I don't trust it. He's too banged up. So really, the only two I'm starting are those two.
Sure. We're jumping over to our next game here. We got the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. Ike, I want to start with you. I gave Ike the tough one this one, man. What do we expect to happen with the Dolphins offense with Teddy B as their quarterback now? Tua was doing pretty well, man. He was processing fast, getting the ball out of his hands, getting it into the playmaker's hands so they could just go. I feel like Teddy is kind of like the right-handed version of Tua, just probably not as accurate. I'm curious to see, Ike, do you think this offense takes a hit with Teddy at quarterback, and which way you move the Jalen Waddles of the world and the Tyreek Hills up and down in your rankings.
Well, the Dolphins obviously got a little bit worse because, I mean, Teddy will still get you wins, but he's not that electric player like where Tua can just, even though he didn't do it much, send it deep to Tyreek and just get a touchdown. I think it helps Tyreek still more unless he's not healthy. I don't know, LaPlante, is he healthy or not?
Both him and Waddle are questionable on Sunday. They haven't been ruled out or ruled 100%.
That's sweet. So
I know, it's fun. Super fun. I love football. That's why this is why we play.
If they're both healthy, I like Hill more than Waddle because Waddle only had 5 targets with Bridgewater last week. Mm-hmm. Honestly, for some reason, I have a feeling it might help Edmonds more now or whoever the running back is, Mostert or Edmonds. Because I feel like Teddy will throw to running back more. Or maybe even Gesicki. Maybe he'll want to throw the tight end more than...
You dare get our host up with Gesicki. You shut your face.
The greatest kid in the world, man.
You shut your face.
You want to talk about a coach using players in a weird way. How about Chase Edmonds being used on a fade route last week in the back corner of the end zone? That was some wild shit, man. And he looks like... the red zone back. Raheem Mostert is the early down grinder. They got down in the red zone last week, and then all of a sudden Chase Edmonds gets down there and he's getting red zone targets and red zone touches. It's like, what am I watching right here? You know, like Chase Edmonds is supposed to be the passing
right, man,
you know, stuff like that. And
I think Mike McDaniels might ride Raheem Mostert until he can't run anymore.
It's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it could be soon. I can't predict injuries.
No, I hear you. Let me 10 seconds. Raheem Mostert or Chase Edmonds rest of the season?
Raheem.
Yeah, you can't bank on touchdowns. You got to go Raheem. You can't bank on touchdowns. Barring any injuries,
I hate to say it, but it is probably Raheem, and that sucks.
In a bubble with
the where people drafted Chase probably.
And this sucks.
Including myself.
It does. Okay. I mean, we got Chase in the league, so it's not fun for us. But, I mean, he's not our RB2, so.
Mike, jumping over to the Jets' point of view, you know, Zach Wilson played last week, came back from the injury, and he had his ups and downs for sure. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this Jets' offense as a whole this week and moving forward with Zach Wilson back at quarterback full-time, hopefully.
The confusing thing here is, I mean, Zach Wilson played like a competent quarterback. He came back, got the W, and he spread out the ball a lot more than I thought he would. 3 players on this team led the team with 6 targets. Yeah, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and Corey Davis. Throw out Corey Davis. I don't trust it.
Why? He's done it. You want me to disagree with you here? Here it is.
Disagree with me.
He's done it for... where in week 5, he's done it for 4 straight weeks, I feel like, Mike, where he's given you decent fantasy production. Why are you not believing it yet with Corey Davis?
Because ever since week 1, where he got 10 targets, it's been 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
That's not great. I mean, that's flex worthy, but that's not, you know, Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall, where you're plugging in safe and confidently as your RB2 or wide receiver 3-2 with Garrett Wilson and Hall. I mean,
speaking of Breece Hall, while you're on it, I can't love somebody more rest of the season than Breece Hall, but keep going. I'm so excited for him, man. It's awesome. He's awesome.
I am excited for him. But I'm just not discounting Michael Carter here yet, you know, just yet. And I do agree, you know, because Wilson spread the ball out as much as he did, if you're desperate at tight end, I think you can use Conklin this week as a streamer. Dolphins are 31st in passing yards given up. Just in general, it's not just against tight ends. It's, you know, everybody. But when you're that bad against defending the pass, I mean, I think it's startable and streamable.
Yeah, that one surprised me where Conklin was still able to produce with Zach Wilson last week as well. And like you said, if he's still there on your waiver wire, I'm not sure he is available at a ton of leagues anymore. He is streamer worthy. I agree, especially with the injuries we're seeing at tight end with Kyle Pitts being out. And then for me, I went and picked up Logan Thomas.
That's a blessing in disguise, guys.
And then take it easy. Take it easy. And then Logan Thomas ends up with a calf injury, and he's trending down as well. Totally not good right now at the tight end position.
No, it's not great.
But I'll jump over to the next game. Yep. We got the Atlanta Falcons, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike, I'm going to start with you because we don't know where Ike is.
He's back. He's like a Jeffrey. He leaves, he comes back, and he's back again.
So we will start with Ike. Let's start there. Let's talk about the Falcons backfield. Ike, what can we expect from these with the tandem of Tyler Allgeier and Caleb Huntley?
Before we get into that, I want to know what LaPlan said about Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. Kinda, are they startable?
That's your fault. You're gonna have to rewatch the pod.
You can give us some watch time on YouTube and stuff, man. So just go back, check it out. You got to check tape. So my question,
I'll give you
fantasy football analyst. I'll give you a freebie. Just let me know that it's out there.
I'll give you a freebie. I do think Garrett Wilson is startable. I'm not gonna give you the one that you have in the home league. That was the answer.
Anyway, at both. Anyways, Dylan, you can.
Oh, touche! You are right.
I already asked you the question, but I'm going to ask you again for the people at home in case they forgot. Yes, one more time. What can we expect from this Atlanta backfield tandem of Tyler Allgeier and Caleb Huntley?
I don't believe in Huntley, but he did get the red zone touches for some reason. I find that weird.
Probably because Allgeier is tired from...
That's what I assume.
Yeah.
But moving forward, obviously Allgeier is the one you want. If you're starting anybody, it's Allgeier, which this week, probably not the best idea, considering you're playing Tampa Bay. Yes,
Caleb,
I know.
Caleb Huntley or Chase Edmonds?
No, Chase Edmonds, man.
Chase Edmonds. I know Tampa Bay got worked kind of by the Chiefs, but the Chiefs or the Falcons aren't the Chiefs. So
I was going to say, it's Patrick Mahomes, one guy throwing the ball, and then you're worried about him 1 week, and then you're worried about Marcus Mariota the following. I think that's a little bit of a difference there.
What are you talking about? Mariota can
STH is better than Tyler Allgeier, more than likely. So yeah.
How dare you? Mariota has thrown a pass and caught it in a playoff game and scored it for a touchdown. He can pirouette and toss a little lob pass to his running back, right? No, he probably can't.
You guys think we're going to see the Falcons run the ball 13 times in a row in this game too, or no?
No,
Kyle Pitts is out. He can't block.
Yeah, that's true.
Your number one blocker is not in.
Well, Mike, to jump over to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now, we already talked. Chris Godwin is available this weekend. I'm curious about this backfield, though, man. Fournette, kind of disappointing so far this year. He's been struggling. Offensive line's bad. He can't really get anything going on the ground. And then we saw Rashad White get worked in last week. On some passing down backs. I think he played like 38% of the snaps.
2 weeks now, I think.
Yeah, around 37 man. And a half, yeah.
Are we worried about Fournette from a fantasy perspective? And are we worried that Rashad White is going to continue to take touches away from him?
Well, I won't lie. This was definitely a question I had for Joe last night on his podcast. But after I did a little bit of, you know, more research here, I'm not really that worried because Fournette, he's third on the team in targets. Yes, the whole team. And I know there's injuries. All right, but he's also 10th in rush. Seven or eight, but you know, third on a team that likes to throw the ball is pretty positive in my opinion. But he's also 10th out of all running backs in rushing attempts, even though they're not running the ball as much. He's still top 10, so the volume makes him safe.
They're just bad at it.
He's just not scoring, man.
Once that's what I was gonna say.
A few scores, and everyone's gonna be like, "Oh, okay." Here we go.
Back to the note of, you know, he's third on the team in targets, and it's probably because of the injuries and whatnot. Well, the wide receivers are getting healthy, and now that the wide receivers are healthy, they'll be able to move the ball more effectively, which means more scoring opportunities, so he can have more than one touchdown on the year.
Yeah.
So I do like his outlook for the rest of the season with everybody getting healthy. But that's the key. You need those wide receivers healthy. I think they can get by with the offensive line struggles that they're having with Brady and the passing volume that he's seeing.
Same with Alvin Kamara, guys. If Fournette has a good week, I think you're trying to sell him high right now, to be honest with you.
I will say this, though. I think one more week of this from Rashad White, and he's absolutely flex worthy.
Interesting. Yeah. Right on. Okay. Okay. That's a little spicy. But I
can get those touchdowns. You can a little bit more effectively with him, because if you get a Fournette taking all the workload, getting down there, you can get Rashad White getting vultured touchdowns.
Is that a fat joke, Michael Plant? That Fournette's gonna be tired after he gets him down there, or what? You better
read you before he comes at you. He's not the only running back getting tired after being used and abused.
True. It is very true. Jumping over to the next game here, guys. We got the Tennessee Titans at the Washington Commanders. Ike, starting with you. Robert Woods. Solid week last week, catching a touchdown. I actually wrote about him this week as a start wide receiver in my article, which was pretty interesting. No Treylon Burks. Woods has, I think, around a 20% target share, which is solid. I'm curious to see where you have him in your rankings this week.
Fine.
Top 36, man. So he's easily.
Is that the first time all year?
Yes. He's usually chilling in the 40s range. But you can easily feel safe starting him in the flex. If you put him at wide receiver 3, you can feel safe there. But yeah, he's starting for sure.
Robert Woods or Gabe Davis?
Robert Woods.
Robert Woods.
Nice 8.7 target share for Gabe.
Robert Woods or Darnell Mooney?
Robert Woods.
Robert.
Okay. And then Ike, I'm curious to see where you have Ryan Tannehill in your rankings too, because he hasn't been awful, and this is a really good matchup against the Commanders this week. He's not a bad streaming option, in my opinion.
I have him quarterback 17. I still think they're going to run more than we want, but in super flex leagues, you can start him for sure. That's what I believe.
That's actually a good spot where you have him. For sure. I Michael Plant said I'm agreeing too much, but I'm just going to go ahead and agree with you again. but Mike, jumping over to the Commanders now, man,
please
they can't run the ball. Quarterback play has been atrocious since the first couple weeks. Can we expect a big game from Terry McLaurin with Jahan Dotson out with a hamstring injury? Logan Thomas battling a calf injury.
Oh, come on. You're ruining my whole answer here, but go on.
Do we finally see a full breakout game from Terry McLaurin this week?
Well, quick little shout out to Davis Peng here. If Logan Thomas don't play, it could be a John Bates breakout week, boys. If you even know who he is. he's a backup tight end for the
you'll Commanders. Know the name after this week.
Oh yeah,
Master John Bates, man.
With Jahan Dotson ruled out, Samuel is good to go. All he was dealing with was an illness, and Logan Thomas questionable and is trending down, in my opinion, because you never want to see somebody miss a practice late in the week like he did. Wentz really doesn't have much to throw to. Samuel leads the team in targets here with 37, which is just stupid if you ask me.
That's wild.
But, yeah, but second to him is McLaurin at 27. All right, so it seems like a, you know, not that much, 37 to 27. Yeah, it's 10 targets. But McLaurin's only having like a 16% target share on the year so far, which is the scary part here. But with these guys out, I do like him this week. You can start him this week, I think, confidently. But I'm pulling an Allen Robinson and I'm pulling a DJ Moore. And if he doesn't perform this week in a prime matchup, I'm sitting him on the bench until further notice.
Yeah, I hear that, man. He's been very frustrating, but I tend to think that he's going to have a big...
I do think so. I do, and I'm really hoping so, because I don't want to bench Terry McLaurin.
Well, it's probably going to be cursed, Samuel, for all we know.
And it might be that offensive line's terrible, and Samuel's, you know, kind of the quick intermediate guy, so that really wouldn't surprise me either, but...
Yeah.
We do got a question here. I'm thinking of dumping Russell Wilson. Don't know if I trust him until Denver opens the offense up. Thinking of eyeing up Kenny Pickett or Jimmy G. That's the problem, though, man. I don't think those options are any better than a crappy Russell Wilson right now. Yeah, that's
like, because even though Russell Wilson didn't score a touchdown, he got probably as many yards as you're going to see Jimmy G and Kenny Pickett get in a game.
And he doesn't run a ton anymore, but we saw him have to run. And the more and more they get down, he's going to have to run more to try to keep Broncos in games because their schedule coming up is brutal. So the volume's going to be there for Russ, man, too.
The problem is he's goddamn atrocious in the red zone. I saw the stat. He's 2 of 18 in the red zone.
Yeah, man, they can't score. Yeah, it's crazy. And they can't trust their running back to hang on to the goddamn football right now either.
But you can't drop him. That's the shitty thing right now. You can't drop him. I mean,
not for those options.
No.
Not for those but options.
We do have another question here.
Mm-hmm. One more. Why don't you pull it up?
From King No Limit. Would you guys do Waddle and London for Eckler?
No.
No, I think that would completely... I'm assuming that would deplete your wide receiver depth. Yeah, I would not do that. I think you're buying high at Eckler on Eckler at that point.
Yeah. You are buying high on Eckler. You're buying a little too high on Eckler because here's one thing. London's going to go off this week without Kyle Pitts.
Waddle, I don't mind. I keep London and maybe Waddle and a lesser player for sure.
Yeah, let London go off this week. Pair him with another player besides Waddle, and you might be able to get that trade done. But I wouldn't do both those players for Eckler. No. Because even with Bridgewater, Waddle's still going to get the easy five-yard receptions, and he's going to take him to the house. And Drake London is going to get his 25% plus target share for the rest of the year, barring injuries. So those are two starters for the rest of the year. Now, if you're sitting like Dylan over here in one of our leagues and your RB1 is Damian Pierce, maybe this trade makes a little bit more sense for you. But if you got somebody like Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, hell, maybe even a James Conner, I still don't know if I make the trade.
Yeah. See, Mike, but the problem with what you just said about my one team is my strength of my and that team's 2-2. The strength of my team is my wide.
I know
receiver.
I bag on you a lot, but
no,
yes.
You're fine. You're 100% fine. I get your point. But if you take those, say those are two out of his three best receivers, and the wide receiver position is his strength on his team. You take those two wide receivers off his roster. Yeah, your running back position is a little bit better adding Eckler, but you just depleted your best position on your team. You get what I'm saying? That's what worries me about that. And then you probably have no depth at the
I'm going to guess that London is not his second best receiver.
Waddle would be his second. I said his second and third best receiver.
Okay. See, if
so
you're
Waddle
considering
would be his second
trade,
receiver and London as his third best.
See, here's my problem here. And I will admit I'm going a little bit of psychology here right now. And I'm trying to think about, you know, being in King No Limit shoes here. And if I'm even considering trading Waddle in London, I have confidence in my wide receiving court.
Right, yeah.
Hopefully you have Cooper Kupp.
Exactly my point. Yeah. You got a Justin Jefferson, you got a Cooper Kupp, and you're confident in your wide receiving core, and this is why you're looking for it. But this is just a little too much value for Eckler because you're buying high on his best week so far off a 3-touchdown week.
Which is
let it settle down. Let London go off, which I think he will this week without Kyle Pitts because, I mean, wouldn't shock me if he gets Brandon Marshall numbers with Jay Cutler up to 40% target share.
Yeah.
So I just want to do the trade right now.
But that's good question, man. And you got us
great
on a
question.
You got us on a good tangent there. I liked it. But let me rein us in here and bring us back to our fantastic game of the San Francisco 49ers. At the Baker Mayfield-led Carolina Panthers, guys.
We're going to play football one team.
Mike, let me start with you. Can we expect Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle to get going this week? Because they have been frustrating to start the year.
Kittle, for me, is he should probably be on your bench. It's pretty bad right now. He has currently got an 8.7 target share. That's as good as Gabe Davis.
Like,
we were just talking about Gabe Davis having that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, even for a tight end spot that's literally depleted like none other, he's not even worth starting, which is insane to talk about. They love running the ball with Jeff Wilson for some reason a lot.
Are you starting Will Disley over George Kittle this week?
No.
That's what I was
but
saying.
But why?
All right, how about you starting Gerald Everett over George Kittle?
What faith do you have in George Kittle, though?
It's because Will Disley is a touchdown away from having or not scoring a touchdown of having the same week as George Kittle. That's pretty much why. And I'm gonna bet on the talent of George Kittle and Will Disley's.
I see they're both gonna get the same amount of yards and catches. Just who is gonna score a touchdown? Disley apparently scores touchdowns, and George Kittle can't.
But he's due to not score touchdowns, is what I'm saying. He's got three out of four weeks, you know.
David Njoku or George Kittle?
David, easy.
Njoku, I think. Yeah, I agree.
Irv Smith Jr. or Kittle?
Kittle.
I wouldn't even know what Irv Smith has done lately.
See, this is the thing where you can't say Kittle less, for this bad of a list.
He's probably done more than George Kittle.
Mm-hmm. I'll just keep naming and we'll go down the list of guys.
I don't want you to.
Exactly my point. So some of these players you do.
You're probably at like tight end 13, though. If you're saying Irv Smith, you're probably at tight end
16. That's 17.
Okay, then yeah. Yeah.
You're right there. But you here's the thing, guys, then. Top 10, you're not starting, you know, him over. Like Dallas Goedert, Conklin, no. Fryermuth,
I would play Conklin Gerald over
Everett, Higby. Exactly. None of those guys would I ask you because you're playing those guys. So like Irv Smith, Evan Engram.
Yeah, that's what I say he's worth a bench spot.
That's why it's like, man, he's kind of on that fringe of tight end one. But here's the thing, fringe tight end one sucks.
Yeah.
And as for Ayuk, he does have a 22% target share, but with them throwing so little, it basically doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He needs a touchdown to stay relevant in fantasy, unfortunately.
Kind of seems to be Garoppolo's guy a little bit. Like, Debo is going to get his, obviously, and he took that short en route to the house on an awesome catch last week, which was nice. But, yeah, Ayuk seems to be a little bit more in tune with Garoppolo.
I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong, but if I'm going to admit when I'm wrong, I'm going to admit when I'm right. I called the Debo Samuel breakout game against the Rams on Twitter.
Yeah.
And goddamn, did he go off for you guys, and I loved it. Yes, he did.
It was nice. Let's jump on over to the Panthers now, Mike. Besides Chris, let's keep this quick. I'm sure we will. Besides Christian McCaffrey, who was good last week, can you start anyone in this Carolina Panthers offense?
Man, not with any sort of confidence, no. I'm not even confident CMC will get 10-plus touchdowns this year. We're talking receiving and rushing. This is how bad this offense is. Just to give you a quick little glimpse, 25th in rushing offense, 30th in passing offense. Can you think of a couple teams worse combined? Bears, maybe. That's about it. And I'm not just shitting on you.
Bears offense isn't worse than the Panthers.
That's what I'm saying. Their rushing offense, I believe, is probably top 15.
Yep.
So, like, this is the worst combined offense I think we have in the NFL this year.
Crap.
So, there is nobody besides CMC I want to start. And, like I said, CMC is not going to have the ceiling I think we've seen him have before in the past, not unless they do some sort of switch here with the scheme or they get Sam Darnold's ass in there.
Sure. But yeah, let's hit some of these comments up before jumping to the next one. Homie wants to give me Kamara and Keenan Allen for my Davante Adams. Is that a good trade? Nope. I'm not doing that trade. Nine times out of ten.
First of all, you're dealing with two injured players. One of them's not starting this week. One of them's finally coming back healthy, but we just talked about it. You know, if you want to check out how we, our opinions on Kamara, you can, go back in the podcast and, to our, Saints matchup, but you know, you don't do that trade. You keep Davante Adams.
Yep. Yeah.
Next one we got here. Would y'all trade Marquise Brown and J-Rob for T. Higgins or Amon-Ra St. Brown? This one's intriguing, man, because we got D-Hop coming back in 2 weeks. You're kind of selling high J-Rob on Marquise high. Brown here. You're and selling J-Rob high.
I like it.
T. Higgins is real nice. Amon-Ra St. Brown is real nice when he's on the field. I kind of want to tell you that I would do that for either one of them.
I agree.
Guys.
And it says down below that he has really good running backs and needs a wide receiver too. So
you're right.
You might. I hate saying this because depending on, you know, what type of league you're in, you might have to give up more than J-Rob. But if you can get that trade done, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. It just kind of sucks because you're dealing with the Amon-Ra ankle injury right now.
I'd go for Higgins.
Yeah, he's on a better offense. I mean, granted, Lions are number one either scoring way. Offense in the league. I can't believe I'm going to say that. I just think it'll even out at the end of the year, and I think the Bengals will have a better offense. So if you can make that trade, do it. But I don't know if somebody will take that trade with J-Rob. I think they're going to see through that a little bit. But, yeah, try it.
We got one more here. Juju and Michael Carter for Scary Terry. This is a pretty interesting question, too. I think you do that. I think you bet on the best talent here, and that's Terry McLaurin. Juju's been disappointing.
I agree. Michael Carter is starting to get phased out.
Brees Hall looked at Michael Carter right in the eyes and said, look at me. This is my backfield now. I'm the captain now.
See, the problem is with Juju and Carter is you never know which week she can play him. Scary Terry,
it's kind of the same, to be honest with you.
Well, no, but the thing with Scary Terry is at least he's getting a good enough target share to where he can be relevant. It's just, man, that offense sucks.
Yeah, and he's so goddamn good.
You got to bet on the volume here. Juju is in a split offense with those wide receivers. All of them are pretty much receiving 15% target share. Michael Carter starting to fade out back a little bit more. So I think I lean Scary Terry, and I would do this trade.
I can't sleep on this trade.
To shit the bed for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. I can't be wrong, though.
Go ahead, jump into our next game here. We got four games left, fellas. Let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles at the Arizona Cardinals. Ike, I want to ask you, man, this dude right here, two seasons in a row before this one, we thought he was going to be a top 12 back. This season, we finally fade his ass, and he's making us pay for it.
He's just top 12 back, man.
Fool you.
He said not to draft him before our season.
I know. He's
like, you know what?
He duped us.
Fuck you guys. I'm going to draft an RB8 on you guys right now.
I don't care about your fantasy team. I'm just going to lie right to your face. Is he for real? Is this fucking guy for real?
I wouldn't say he's fully back, but he's definitely starting every week on your fantasy teams. 10th in red zone touches, 12th in opportunity share. Thanks to Player Profiler for that. But
finally leaning on
him. He's getting all the opportunities. This team runs the ball.
Miles Sanders or James Robinson?
Miles.
I think it's Miles Sanders, man. He has a clearer path to touches every week.
Yep.
Miles Sanders or Damian Pierce?
Miles Sanders, unfortunately, he doesn't have the clear path to touches each week, but better offense, man.
All right, last one.
Scoring opportunities.
I'd say Damian on that one, I think.
Okay. All right, last one here, though. Leonard Fournette or Miles Sanders?
That's Leo.
Miles Sanders. No, it's
that one I'm shocked.
It's not
that
Leonard Fournette, man.
It's Leo the Lion. For sure.
Oh man,
he gets a receiving ahead. Like LaPlante said, he's third in team in targets or some shit.
I really want to argue with you here about it, but I don't want to go on a tangent because we're already at an
make
hour.
Make it a quick tangent.
There's not one good thing more than Leonard Fournette has over Miles Sanders right now. The Eagles' offensive line's better. The Eagles' offense.
I literally just said it. He's got more scoring opportunities.
Now, here's my thing, though. Do you expect that to actually be the rest of the year, the Eagles being a better offense than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
There's nothing that they've shown us that can't be true. And they have the.
I mean, Buccaneers were without a lot of weapons, so.
And they still were within games.
And the Eagles have one of the easiest strength of schedules remaining.
That will give you because that NFC East, it's brutal, but somehow it's doing good.
Yeah, for sure. I think that pretty much wraps it up. That was a good conversation, guys. Good. But Mike, let's talk Cardinals now, Mike. Are you worried about this Arizona offense as a whole in this matchup? Because let's be real. This Eagles offense is for real. And this Cardinals offense has not looked good until the second half of games when they just kind of need to go Kyler Murray schoolyard bullshit.
Now, one thing is Darius Slay did get hurt last game and did not play the rest of the game. Granted, defense didn't matter without him. So I am tempering my expectations. I'm a little worried here. but you got no choice but to start your guys in Kyler Murray, Marquise Brown, and James Conner. You got to start those guys. You're not starting Rondell Moore. You're not starting the Dorchman. You're not starting
Dorchman.
You know, I really do think Zach Ertz is going to struggle this week. This is the one week where I think Ertz was not going to deliver, just because the Eagles defense, their pass rush is so goddamn good. I don't think Zach Ertz will be able to.
I think Kyler might struggle this week.
Here's the thing, and I remember hearing this stat. I believe it was on the Fantasy Footballers podcast. The Cardinals in the first half, I believe, are like top bottom five in offense.
Yeah, but it's awful.
Second half, they're top three. Right.
Weird.
So if you're going to get production or big weeks from this, it's going to be garbage time in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that you don't want to get garbage time against. So they can force turnovers. They can get sacks and all that.
And Kyler, we finally started to see him run a little bit more last week. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that against this Eagles defense, because they sit in a lot of zone too. And that's going to be tough for Kyler to find his openings to be able to run. But like you said, Mike, they're going to have to try if they want any chance of winning this game.
Yes, they have to. I mean, they're going to need to switch those first half woes around.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Very poorly coached team, I feel.
Yeah, that's the problem, I think, really. I think Kyler's doing as best as he can on a poorly coached team. He takes the majority of the blame here because he's the face
Clutch
of the
franchise. Sucks.
It's like they just put him as your normal drop-back passer for the first half, man. And he's sitting there back there getting his passes batted down because he's 5'6". You just got to let him get out there and do do the damn thing.
It's a copycat league, and Cliff says, fuck no, I'm going to create my own plays. We ain't copying shit.
Why doesn't he copy the Eagles?
That's what I'm saying. Copy the Eagles. Copy the Ravens. Like, take some QB runs in there.
That's what the Bears may be doing.
Yeah, sure.
Going into our next one here, we got the Dallas Cowboys at the Los Angeles Rams. I'm going to start with you. Tony Pollard, let's just say it sucked last week. Zeke?
What can we expect? He only had like 10 fantasy points. He wasn't great.
Yeah, right. What can we expect from these guys in this matchup against the Rams, whose defense is hit or miss, but pretty solid against the run, I think?
They're actually best in the league at not allowing points to running backs. Only allowing like 14 something, so it's not great. For Zeke and Tony Pollard, this is the week you probably should be sitting both of them. I expect better days moving forward, but this isn't the week you want to be playing them.
Really? You don't want to play either of them, huh? Okay.
No.
Okay.
If you have to, because obviously there are some running backs out, I'd be playing Zeke, obviously, because he can fall into the end zone.
Are you playing either of these two over Singletary, Pierce, or Ramondre Stevenson? Singletary, Pierce, Ramondre Stevenson.
Honestly, no. I wouldn't. Right.
Yeah, fair enough. And then just real
quick. And that's
quick,
crazy with how far Zeke's fallen.
Now, here's what I want to know, because you guys make fun of me because of the Mendoza line. Whatever. how about Chase Edmonds? Are you starting Tony Pollard over Chase Edmonds?
I think we're going Chase Edmonds. I think he's got more scoring opportunities with what we saw last week.
It's a major downgrade against the matchup, boys.
Yeah, this matchup is tough. And then just let me get your quick thoughts on what we saw from Michael Gallup last week. Is this the week he starts to eat into CeeDee Lamb's target share? Or is that not going to happen more so until Dak comes back? Because I'm going to go with Cooper Rush has zero chemistry with Michael Gallup. But we did see a touchdown last week, because how much could these guys have worked together this offseason and stuff, you know?
Anything's possible with this Dallas Cowboys team. And by now, I mean, I didn't expect Cooper Rush to be 4-0 as a starter. This game might be the reality check for Cooper Rush against this Rams defense. I do like I'll be honest with you. I'm starting Michael Gallup and Scott Fishbowl this week.
You already done.
All right. Really? Now, yeah, I am. I'm going to be starting him and Scott Fishbowl this week because Isaiah McKenzie's concussion scares me a little bit. So, I mean, in desperation, I think you're good with Michael Gallup. And 10-teamers, you're sitting them until you see better.
For sure.
10-12 teamers, you're sitting them.
Jumping over to the Rams side, Mike, I want to go to you here. Allen Robinson, Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson. What do we do with these guys? Can we do anything with these guys? Do you drop them? Do you just sit them on your bench? Do you start Cam Akers maybe?
You kind of have to start Cam Akers. I mean, if you know, if you're hit with these running back injuries. But, man, if you got other options, I'm going in different directions here because it is just Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee. These are the only two guys in this offense that matter, that are relevant. I don't understand why. It's like Matthew Stafford just said, fuck being a good quarterback. I'm going to hyper-target Cooper Kupp and my tight end. So I don't understand what's going on here. I think it's the offensive line, obviously, because it's so bad. But in a pinch, you can start Akers just because I think the volume is all right there. But realistically, I'm trying to sit all three of these guys.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I agree with you. Sunday night football, guys, we got the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. Ike, are you worried about Mixon? Because this Ravens offense has just been beaten up through the air so easily, worst in the league against wide receivers and quarterbacks, I think.
I mean, they can get him down there all they want, but, I mean, Joe Mixon's still going to first, actually, in red zone touches. So he's still going to get his goal line carries. He's still going to get into the end zone at some point. He's still going to get targets. There's some worry, but, I mean, it is definitely worrisome that he's not very efficient on the ground right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's brutal.
Brutal.
Touches are there, though.
Like you exactly. Said. Things
volume is there. Around.
Yes. And like LaPlante Lowe's volume is
like
God.
Like I volume is God in fantasy football. I give credit to Keith from, you know, Fantasy Six Pack. He's the one that said in our Discord channel, he said either Mixon's gonna go off or he's gonna be the biggest fantasy disappointment all year because with his amount of touches he's been getting, his fantasy points over expectation are just madly not correlated.
It's insane. So he should be averaging like 20-something probably.
He's due for more points with the volume he's getting. It's just – it's not coming together right now. Fantasy football is a stretch of what I like to call it's kind of like a college, you know, college year. You got trimesters or you know, semesters or whatever. Yeah, it's kind of like a quarter. Semesters. I don't know why I said trimester.
It's like a circle.
It's like a
it's
quarter – it's quarter
not
by
like
quarter
a square that has like
it's 4 week edges. Intervals, like 4 week intervals, 4 week intervals, and anything can change at that point. So this could change. All it takes is a good matchup for Mixon to get, you know, on the right pace.
For sure. And then Mike, staying with you here, jumping over to the Ravens. Let's talk.
I don't like the way you worded this.
Why?
Because they're not must starts.
But why? No Rashad Bateman. Why he was rolled out, guys, got to get him out of your lineup. Justice Star Hill, he got ruled out. He is not playing this week either. That's why I'm thinking maybe we see Duvernay play 80 to 90% of the snaps. Actually, maybe he gets some cardio in and runs a ton of routes.
Yeah, he'll run a ton of routes.
Seems like a cardio day for him. Run about 50 routes, two catches.
He'll get his cardio in. The thing is Duvernay is so touchdown dependent. I love I don't love Rashard Bateman being out, but this does give a little bit more volume to Duvernay his way. But here's the thing. It's going to be all Mark Andrews. Duvernay is going to have one of those days where maybe he gets
40 targets.
he might have a better week than TJ Hockenson had last
week.
Keith's ass.
But I think Dobbins is a must start because notified us about Justice Star Hill being out. So Gus Edwards, you know, great news. He's practicing, but
Gus Bus.
I don't think he's going to be playing here. So I think it's going to be a J.K. Dobbins, a Mike Davis, and maybe a Kenyon Drake week. And if that's the case, I'm going all J.K. Dobbins. And I'm a little hesitant on Duvernay. If you're desperate, he is worth a streaming start. He's just not a must start.
Deeper leagues, I feel like.
You just had to give Mike Davis one more shot in the light, man.
Well, I never said you're starting him. I said he's going to be in the mix.
Mike Davis.
Mike Davis.
Monday Night Football, guys. We got the Las Vegas Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs. You're starting Josh Jacobs at this point. At this point, guys, he's been awesome. Derek Carr streamer possibility this week. Like, I want to know, are you panicking on Darren Waller? Because he, outside of Kyle Pitts, he's been probably one of the most disappointing tight ends this season.
George Kittle, by the way, just so we're
and George there Kittle, sure.
Yeah, George
sure.
Kittle, yeah.
For 10 team leagues, this is very disappointing because you expect him to be like a top 4 or 5 tight end. But he's playing more like a top 12 tight end. So if you're in 12 team leagues, you're like, yeah, sweet. He's still fine. But you blew it in 10 team leagues.
It's all about perspective.
He's top 5 in like all the air yards and the red zone targets and all this stuff. It's just not coming together because Devontae is there, I'm assuming. And Devontae is just like taking everything away from Darren Waller. And plus Josh Jacobs is playing insanely well too. Yes. So they're going to get him worked in. So yeah, agreed. I mean, it's getting to like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah. I'm up there with you. I'm probably at a 7, 7.5. I'm pushing 8 after this week. If he can't fucking pull something out of his,
yeah.
Magic hat.
Pull something out of that rabbit, man.
Like the 16% target share. 12th at the tight end.
Rabbit, I think he's starting.
From it's wild.
Yeah, the 12th best target share for tight ends he has. That's crazy to me with what they paid him in the offseason, what we've seen his ability.
Like I said, he should be top 5.
Yeah, man. That boggles my mind.
It's the red zone attempts.
But that's what happens when Devontae comes there. Look at what Rob Tonyan only had. Like he had way under 15%.
Sure, yeah.
So it is what it is when you get Devontae there.
It really is because it's the biggest thing is the red zone targets because through 4 games, Darren Waller has 6 red zone targets and Devontae Adams has 13.
Yeah.
Last year it was Darren Waller having, you know, that many red zone targets. Now granted,
he's the only guy with maybe Renfro getting a few here.
That's the other person who was getting it as well. So Devontae Adams is just eating into his ceiling. He still has a solid floor for a tight end considering tight ends are garbage. But the ceiling's not there where you drafted him, and he is fluttering in that range. Now, granted, he's doing better than Kyle Pitts.
He is.
So he's not that bad just yet, but he's on that trajectory.
Mm-hmm. But, Mike, let's finish up with the Kansas City Chiefs here. Not a wide receiver question this week. I got a running back question here for you instead. How can CEH possibly keep this up, and will he this week?
Every week we say he doesn't.
Yeah, dude's just going to be the most efficient running back ever in fantasy football when it's all said and done, man. What are you going to do? He's just going to keep scoring and scoring and scoring.
Well, when you're on one of the most efficient offenses in fantasy football, I mean, it's totally possible. It's plausible.
He's breaking the rules, man.
He might be that fantasy football anomaly to where, you know, he's the one guy I think you might be able to count on a touchdown every week.
Volume isn't king at this point. I know he got 20 touches not for last him. Week, but that he got 20 touches last week, but that was by far the most.
Now, in the standard league, this dude is absolute gold.
He only got 20 touches because they were up so much last week. Other than that, you know, it has been Isaiah Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon in those neutral script games, like against the Colts. Honestly, it's Pacheco, guys. I don't think he deserves to be on anybody's waiver wire. I think he's worth a roster spot going down the second half of the year. Being on an offense
I don't
like
think
this.
10 teamers, no, but. A little bit deeper.
Yeah. He does
worth a roster spot.
Tyreek Hill's number. That's cool too. But
it's worth a roster spot. I'm not starting him, obviously. I mean, we're barely, you know, we're contemplating starting CEH right here. I'm just saying Pacheco looks good, guys. If you watch the game, like, you know, I know you do, you can't deny the talent there. I don't know how he slipped to the sixth round. I'll admit when I'm wrong. He's good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And then just real quick, guys, 10 seconds. Are you starting Juju Smith-Schuster this week? Or would you rather play him or Gabe Davis?
Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis for me as well. Ike, give us a clean sweep to end the show. No. You idiot.
I'm never giving you a clean sweep.
All right, guys.
Real quick, you going Juju or Brandon Ayuk?
Brandon Ayuk.
Juju.
See,
or
I'm
DJ
still
Moore?
Going Juju over Ayuk.
It's Juju over DJ Moore. But I'm going to close the show, man. We've gone on far too long. We're on an hour 25. But, guys, that was a blast. Please smash that like button. Please subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. Appreciate it. Go on over to fantasysixpack.net/plans. Check out our plans. Make sure to hit us up with your lineup questions on Sunday, as LaPlante and I will be doing the Sunday social live stream. Ike, you want to join us? Feel free. I know we're going to a wedding together tomorrow, so we might be a little hungover.
We're gonna be hungover as shit.
Yeah, it's gonna be a party, guys. It's gonna be a party Sunday morning. And then after the games on Sunday,
you're not gonna want to trust them.
And then after the games on Sunday, of course, LaPlante and I are gonna be here again doing the Last Call podcast, quickly recapping the games and what we saw and fantasy relevant news.
Quick little just adjustment tweak to the schedule. You know, it's not really a schedule adjustment. We used to do the Sunday recap live. We are no longer going to be doing that live. Me and Dylan, we haven't decided yet if we're – I think we're going to be posting it Sunday night, so everybody has that ability to watch it or listen to it Monday morning.
Yes, yes, sir. But thanks again, guys. We appreciate you watching. For Ike and Mike, I'm Dylan. Talk to you guys next week. Good luck in your matchups.
Good luck in week 5.